There's one goal here, and one promise I made to Mrs. Ford is winning. For that to happen, everyone needs to be on the same page, to be in the best position with the right plan. Every person in this building has a job to do, and each job is important. If we can get one step better every day, that's putting this organization in the right direction.
Donald steps up in the pocket, now throws. It is picked up by Banks. Pulled back right side. Inside the 10. It is Quandre Diggs to the 5. To the house. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. How about that for an opening act?
Oh, my God. It is Sir Mix-a-Lot booty thick.
Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show with your hosts, Chris and Case.
Hey, hidey-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast post-game show. I am here with the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit and Jeff Risden to review this thing we call a Lions game. We got football back, and I'm not sure we want it in this kind of state, but we'll talk about that. I'm your host, Chris. With me is my good friend and co-host, The Riz. Jeff Risden, how you doing, my man?
Oh, I am looking for a non-opiate painkiller to dull the pain from tying the Cardinals after having a sure win, a huge lead, and watching Matt Patricia piss it away.
All away. Yes, that was really something. We got that. We'll talk about that, what the future of this team looks like. Did we get what we expected? What didn't we expect? A whole lot more. And of course, we'll be taking your calls. Big show. You ready to go, my man?
Let's do it.
This is no time for a quick release. We're going deep.
That's right. We're going deep. And we're going to go through the whole shabeel here. Don't forget about a Patreon. So, special thanks to Dylan from Guam and everywhere else. There you go. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. The Slack was on fire today. If you saw that, our Patreon people saw it. There was a lot going on there. A lot of chatter. You can join as well. As little as a dollar a month will get you into our Patreon Slack, which is a pretty cool place to be. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Don't forget about that. Twitter, of course, at DET Lions Podcast. Subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Make sure to hit the subscribe and notification button there. Okay, let's get into this Lions Cardinals game review. I got to tell you, Riz, there was a whoop ass three and a half quarters of football out of this Detroit Lions team. They were not the Lions team that so many people had predicted. It was that last half a quarter that seemed to bring back some stark memories, huh?
Oh, man. Up until the middle of the third quarter, the Lions had this game, dominated.
Yeah.
They
dominated
the game. I'm looking at the drive chart right now. The Cardinals had one drive. They had two drives in a row that gained 11 yards in the second quarter. Those were their best drives until they scored a field goal, their second field goal, the one in the middle of the third quarter with 7:42 to go. Prior to that drive, they had not had one that went over 11 yards. What happened then? Started playing off coverage. What happened with the Cardinals offense after that? I'll just go over their drives really fast here.
Yeah.
Eight plays, 42 yards field goal. 10 plays, 68 yards field goal. 7 plays, 70 yards touchdown. 9 plays, 55 yards touchdown. 7-65 for the field goal in overtime. And then their last one, they got a punt only because they screwed up. That's basically it. That's what happened.
Yeah. No, this was really something that I don't think anybody would have predicted after those first 3.5 quarters. I don't think we would have predicted the domination of those first 3.5 quarters either. I know going into the game, everybody I saw and talked to was nervous. We talk about this so much. There's so many players for you guys, you fantasy guys. You see players that you just didn't. How many guys got 140 yards playing wide receiver today? It's the first game of the season is always just a wacky kind of something you can't. You know, I call it fool's gold. You can't base any kind of. You can't draw any lines. It's a single point, and it's a bad point of data. But what we saw here was we saw like three different points out of this Lions team. And some point it's that schizophrenia that comes out of this team oh so often. That's what I feel like we're walking away with. And again, I don't want to put too much into it, but wow, I don't even know what to think.
I think that there are some positives to it, but they're not going to be the topic of discussion anytime soon. TJ Hockenson set an NFL record today for the most yards ever by a tight end in a debut game.
Yeah, yeah.
And was fantastic. He looked great. 131 yards. Broke the previous record from 1960. So it had been almost 60 years. He was phenomenal. I thought we saw a lot of good things, but that's...
It all hinges on a timeout, right? Doesn't it all really hinge on that one F up? And then
the timeout, yes, where apparently Matt Patricia called timeout and Matthew Stafford went over afterwards and you saw him mouth it. Trust me. Why don't you trust me?
Oh, boy.
That is not something that you want to see from your quarterback going to your head coach. And it looked like Darrell Bevell was trying to call the signaling for the timeout, you know, kind of casually, no real urgency to it. Like, okay, you know what? If I don't get this, it's going to be okay. But he can't call timeout. Only Patricia can call the timeout.
Right.
So that's where it came from. It wiped out a play where J.D. McKissic was wide open on a fantastic delayed release screen. Perfect play call. I don't know why they didn't go to that again. I don't know why we didn't see that play again. But that's that killed the momentum right there because the Lions had the game won at that point. They get a first down there. They keep driving. McKissic might have even scored on that play. Who knows?
Right, right.
And at that point, you saw, you know, the snowball was rolling down the mountain, and then it became the avalanche, and it didn't stop for the rest of the game.
Yep. It was top tier. It was Stafford who said, trust me, that timeout really, really wrecked. Now, without that timeout call, right, it's a different outcome to this game. We can see that, right? And then we can start thinking about things like Taylor Decker. Wow, did he look bad out there? How many penalties did he get? Four? Five?
He had four holding penalties.
Wow, man, that's tough. Let's talk about Bevell though. And you know, Bevell, whether it was him that told Patricia, you know, how that all played out, we'll find out more. I'm sure there'll be more about that. I can guarantee Patricia will just own it no matter what, right? Because that's who he is and that's what he does. He'll say, it's me, it's on me, it's my call. I have to make the call and that's me. Take that piece out though of that timeout and that offense. That run first offense that we saw out there for 3.5 quarters. Holy shit. Was that the most effective and efficient we've seen Matthew Stafford in ages? Ages?
He looked comfortable with the play action fake, and he's very good at selling the fake. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They didn't run the ball particularly well. In fact, Matthew Stafford was their leading rusher through three quarters with his 22 yards.
Yeah.
Kerryon had 21 to that point. He wound up with 49. And C.J. Anderson wound up with 35. It was not an effective running game, but the fact that they tried it opened up the play action, and you saw what it did for Hockenson. You saw what it did for Amendola getting open over the middle. That was wide open all day, and it was there for the taking. And Stafford, my God,
took it.
He was there, man. He loved it.
Yep.
It was great.
And
what the hell happened? Why did that go away? That's one of my questions.
Yep. And the other thing, and I'm trying to look at the positives here because there's going to be plenty of talk about the negatives, right? And I don't want us to forget about that 3.5 quarters of great football we saw. I don't want us to lose sight of how good that team looked out there. We have to give credit to the front seven in the Arizona Cardinals. That's the best part of their team. That is the best part of their team is their defensive front seven. And you know, sure, Decker got held a bunch and we had some problems, but we did pretty damn good as a team against that. I feel like there are some positives to take away from something that completely unwound at the end. Go ahead Riz.
I'm getting messages and texts from people who are having fun with it. I just got one. I should have believed you. 5-11. And I won't say who it's from, but it's from somebody who you all would know. This is why I was skeptical of the team, why I was down. And I'm not going to be that guy. I'm not.
I'm just saying
that if this surprised you, you were warned.
There's a really good question in the live chat. With your 5-11, does this now make us 5-10-1, or is it 4-11-1?
That's a great question. we'll go 5-10-1. That's a great question.
That's an upgrade. That's an upgrade, folks.
I'm proven to be wrong already, so there's that. I said this morning when I was on with Jim Costa here in Grand Rapids, you know, I pray to God that I'm wrong. Well, I've been proven wrong. They cannot go 5-11. So
yeah,
there's a silver lining for you.
Jiggly Scrub has an interesting angle here too. Jim Caldwell never would have had us at 24-6, but if he coached the fourth quarter, we probably would have won.
You know, one of the things that I saw, and I saw this on Twitter, and I was not on the Slack tonight, and that's my bad. I have work going on as well. I did have to wrap up the Browns game, which was even more disappointing. thank God I'm not a Browns fan too.
Wow, man, yeah, that was way
that was
worse
that was dude thought. that was really bad. And as much as you want to complain about Taylor Decker, he was the best offensive tackle I saw all day. That's how bad that game was on both sides of the ball.
So
there's some perspective there, and maybe that's why I'm not crawling, looking to pee on an electric fence over the Lions offensive line, because I watched the Browns and the Titans today. My God, the way that I've lost my train of thought. I'm sorry.
That's not my fault, for those that complain about me interrupting Riz, by the way.
Yeah, that's just me.
That one's on him.
I'm scatterbrained and going all over the place here. One of the things that bugged me was that they went away from what was going and working, and that's on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they went to you know what they say about prevent, right? The only thing it prevents is it prevents your team from winning. They were in a position where it felt safe to go with that. That's when the conservativeness of
look at what Matt happened Patricia with Rashawn showed. Melvin. Rashawn Melvin was fantastic through the first three quarters of that game.
Yep.
He starts playing 9 to 12 yards off to start, and he was worthless. I don't get it. You bring in an extra defensive back. You bring in Jamal Agnew, who, by the way, should walk home. He was awful. If he's not helping you as a return man and he's hurting you as a return man, there's no point for him to be on this team.
Yep.
Done.
So let's talk about the psychology of a game where you're up like that and the wheels start coming off, right? Those things tend to build on themselves, and you that doubt creeps in, and it's like a train just accelerating down a hill, and it's not going to stop. It's crazy to see. I mean, like, and what we see now is everybody remembering, oh, you know, this defense can't stop anybody. That defense was strong in the first three and a half quarters.
That defense had Kyler Murray completely flummoxed. They were all over. Christian Kirk was not getting open. Larry Fitzgerald was having trouble getting open. Their tight ends, I don't even know if they played, to be honest with you. They were completely blanketed.
Yep.
Christian Jones played a phenomenal game. Phenomenal game.
Yep. We saw two different Lions teams on the field. Conservative Lions, and one was the game plan Lions. And I think there's a lot to learn for the coaches and the players today. That piece that you talked about, though, with Stafford telling coach, trust me, that's one that's going to be a thread to watch, because if that trust between them is somehow dashed, right? These things can be solved. These things can be forgiven and they move on, right? But this is something that could start to fester and infect and so on, right?
That's a heat of the battle frustration moment, and it needs to stay there. Otherwise, it's going to be a massive problem going forward. Yeah. And I trust both men there understand the enormity of that moment and will work through that. But that's really not good when your quarterback doesn't feel like the head coach has trust in him, has faith in him to accomplish, to do the right thing on the field. That's a very serious problem.
Yeah, I have a feeling that in that circumstance, it was a thing where where Bevel told the coach he wanted a timeout, and coach went with Bevel because he had to trust his coach. He was put in a bad spot, and Stafford.
And it was clear that Bevel was the guy indicating for the timeout. It was not Patricia initiating that process.
Yeah.
That needs to be clear.
Yep. So let's talk about it. I think we need to look at this game as two different games almost, right? Two significantly different, two different game plans for sure. The game plan we brought for the Cardinals was the right one. It won the game.
Yes, it was.
Once we got to the point where we won the game, we lost. Well, we tied the game. We almost lost it, right? And that's a real gap, and that's a true learning experience. One of the things that came up in the Slack, I think that's really interesting, was from Floundericious. Guy lives in Seattle, and he says, you know, we have games like this where the Hawks just shit the bed. Mm-hmm. The wheels come off, and it's a total mess.
They had one today.
Yep. And, you know, the conversation there isn't like we see with the Lions, right? It's not the fuck this team, you know, not that thing. They're like, we've got to learn from this, we've got to get better, and we've got to move on, and It's a completely different type of mentality than I'm seeing already, like in the Twitterverse and so on. I think people will God, my heart was beaten at the end of that game. I get the adrenaline and the frustration and stuff, but I still think that this is a different team with different leadership, different coaching, and I think fans, I understand. Look, I was around when we drafted Billy Sims, right? I've seen the Lions through all of these things and lived and died by it. I just can see that something's different, and I think until it's absolutely certain that they're going to fail, you can't be the same old Lions fan. Period. It's not fair to the team, not fair to the players, and you're not doing anybody any good at that point.
No, it's very frustrating.
It goes to the Detroit versus everybody story that you talked about, right?
It really is, because who is going to take positives out of this? If I'll refer to my radio colleagues, Big Drew and Jim, if they try to go positive tomorrow, there are going to be a soul in Grand Rapids or Detroit that listens to them.
Right.
They're going to flip that off, because nobody wants to hear anything positive about this game after the way it ended. And I frankly don't blame them for that.
And I can point to about 20, maybe 20% of the people out there and say, and you would assign Antonio Brown, right? Calm down, folks.
It is just one game. They're 0-0-1. They are still ahead of the Chicago Bears, which is a positive. But man, that was a game you had to come out with a win on that. Look at the upcoming schedule.
Yeah, this is going to be tough. The
Chargers prevailed today. The Chiefs prevailed today. Although Tyreek Hill might be out for a while. The only silver linings, you're not Cleveland and you're not Miami.
Miami, yeah. People asking to be kicked out of there, right? Wow. Man, oh man.
And by the way, when they get cut from there, the Lions don't want them. I'm just preemptive strike there.
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. All right. So one game against the Cardinals. It is one game. And again, it's the first game of the year. You look at the guys' stats out there, especially, you know, the fantasy people see this and they're like, you see players getting crazy, stupid stats that they shouldn't get already. It's not real. Don't start buying players in fantasy. Don't start buying and selling teams right now. This is just the first game of the year. It's not anything you can draw any kind of major conclusions from. And I have a feeling about it. I usually say game three, game four, things start to settle to the mean, and you can see where a team really is and what their season trajectory probably looks like, barring injury and so on and so forth. So, wow.
So just on Kyler Murray, I did a little bit of research on this. At one point in the game, he was 7 for 25. He finished 29 of 54. That's almost perfect the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm. And that's the prevent defense. That's
what prevents defense does for you. I don't know why in the world a smart guy like Matt Patricia would go to that.
I'm not sure either.
I don't get it. I'm sure that my colleagues in the media room will ask him about that, and I'm sure he will snap back them and just give some answer that goes into cliches and doesn't really answer the question.
I kind of feel like he won't say it, but I feel like he felt like with as effective as the offense had been, that they were going to be able to maintain their trajectory as well. And it was just going to be, it would go out the end. And again, without that timeout, it's a whole different game. One single call changed that game. So
he really did.
If that call hadn't been made and we won the game and that 18-point lead hadn't been pissed away, people would be sitting here cheering and talking about how awesome this team is. And even with the Decker penalties and all the things people are complaining about right now, that one thing changes what people are saying and talking about and the whole narrative about what this game is right now.
So it's all good.
Yeah, that's what Matthew says.
In reality, they're somewhat lucky that Arizona did not get aggressive earlier in the game. Yeah. They kicked a 20-yard field goal on 4th-and-1.
That was a lack of trust in Kyler, right? I mean, that's what you saw from Kling Dingleberry,
Cliff Kingsbury.
Yeah,
Mr. Professional Stubble. I'm jealous of that, by the way. He looks good.
He has no faith in his quarterback, obviously, early. Now, he may.
It's a rookie. I don't blame him for that, and he was terrible to that point.
I think you go at it. I think you go for it, 4th-and-1. That's me. That's it. So,
at home, I go for that. Yeah. Especially when your kicker is Zane Gonzalez, who was not good enough to stay on the winless Browns.
Yeah. Hey, I got to talk about somebody really quick. Somebody who's back, and you remember him. Peter Von Panda. If you're on YouTube and you look around, never, ever go to Peter Von Panda's channel at youtube.com/PeterVonPanda. You will be disappointed. You'll think you're going to see great reviews. You'll think you're going to see great humor, but you're going to see some of the worst YouTube content you've ever seen. And if you were to go there, you'll see all kinds of testimonials from people telling you just how bad Peter Von Panda's YouTube channel is. So don't go to youtube.com/PeterVonPanda and don't check out his amazing reviews and high comedy. He's got good stuff there. Really check it out. He's a good guy. Came back to support the show again this year. So thanks a lot, man. All right, let's keep going. What else can we talk about with this team?
So
Sam Martin's going to be sore.
Yes, he is. Has reason to be. That one that got blocked, by the way, was not his fault.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. You were going to jump on something before.
Yeah. A couple of people actually asked me about the pass rush or lack thereof. Mm-hmm. And somebody asked if Trey Flowers was active for the game. He was active. He got two tackles. Did not get a registered quarterback pressure. He did draw a penalty, but it was not an auspicious debut. And the overarching theme of the pass rush, we talked about it this week on the show. One of my worries is that they don't have anybody who generates a pass rush that scares you. Now, I'm looking at the official stats right now. Devon Kennard did get three sacks in this game. Christian Jones got one. Jelani Tavai got one. The Christian Jones set up. Beautiful play. So those are all your linebackers. Your defensive lineman did not get a sack in this game. They didn't generate a lot of pressure. I'm looking at the QB hits right now, and outside of the sacks, there was one. Rashawn Melvin got it. nothing from Flowers. Snacks Harrison did break up two passes, but did not get a QB pressure or hit. I'm not seeing any others from any of the other linemen. So it was an underwhelming game. Now, some of that is the fact that you are trying to get your linebackers in there, and Kennard played well. I thought Christian Jones, again, had a great game. But you do not have an alpha pass rusher that makes another team worry. And people who thought that Trey Flowers was that, I'm sorry, he's not. He's a very good player, but he is not. He's not Jadeveon Clowney. that's not who he is. He's not Khalil Mack. I think we saw in this game, yes, he is coming off an injury, and that probably is a bit of an excuse, but they still have to scheme to get sacks. And that takes away from your coverage.
I'm hearing, and I didn't see it because I was setting everything up for the show. The face mask. I heard it, but I didn't look at any of the replays. The face mask on Flowers, that call was a lie.
It was weak. Yeah. It wasn't by the letter of the law incorrect, but it was weak. Okay. There was certainly more pass interference on the play. Who did he throw it to? Down the left sideline in overtime. Or right before overtime, the last drive of the game. And I forget who the intended receiver. It was Galladay. There was pass interference on that game, on that play. It reminded me a lot of the overturned one in Dallas, to be honest with you. I had flashbacks to that.
Great. Hey, we got a call. You there, caller?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on now? Calming down. How much you had to drink so far? Let's start there.
I have had nothing to drink. I am a masochist.
Oh, my God. Yes, you are.
I'm about to, though. I'm about to have something to drink.
About to start.
Yeah. I'm not feeling too good. I have to admit that. But I'm trying to look at the bright side of things. And the bright side of things is we're not the Packers and we're not the Bears.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing.
And think about what your life is like right now if you're a Packers fan. You just saw Aaron Rodgers get held to 10 points. Still won the game, but that's only because the Bears scored 3 points. So, and look at what we started out week one last year and how much better we look starting out the season this year.
Yep.
So there are some positives to take away from that game other than it's not a loss. There are some things we could do better. We have a lot of football season to go.
Yeah. That's all great points. And I was thinking exactly that. If I think just let's say the first half, rather than we keep talking about the first three quarters, we can still say the first three quarters. You look at the Bears-Packers game and the Lions game, and I have to say that Lions offense is probably the most dynamic of all three offenses that I've seen, that I saw. And the defense is right in line with the three defenses that I saw on the field. This may bode well. Now, again, we're not playing the Bears or the Packers here. We're playing the Cardinals. But from what we can divine here, we do have a good team to work with this year.
The Bears look like they were running Jim Bob Cooter's offense.
They did. Except for the part
of quarterback.
Except for the part of the part where they kept trying to throw left and it never worked.
Biscuit.
Yeah. Oh man. No, you know, those are all great points, man. That's a good call. Thanks for that. And they sit there and watch and they can giggle that it's a Lions situation to get the tie, you know, same old Lions, whatever, but this team looked good, and it looks like they have something to bring against the division this year. And if you saw Minnesota play today, that defense looked freaking nasty. That was a stout win.
Darn near shut out the Falcons, who I think are a really good team.
I do too. They better be really bad this year, or we're looking at 0-2 against the Vikings, because they're going to kill people with that defense. They were hitting hard, hitting often, and just shutting shit down. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I guess now we just got to beat the team that we aren't supposed to beat, and then we'll be all set.
And that's the Lions thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah. We're good for one of those for sure.
All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, bro. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you too.
All right. Cheers, man. All right, you guys want to call? You can do that. It's cool.
Please do.
Yeah, what's our number? I hadn't given it out yet. It's 248-782-8384, 248-782-8384. Give us a call. Or if you're using Skype, you can just go straight to Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, and hook us up, and we'll get you on the show. Love to take your calls and talk about it. Now, remember, you're going to be sore. I understand it. You're going to be a sore Sam Martin probably with everything that's going on, but it's okay. We'll talk.
Bet your Asper cream.
We'll talk. We'll try to be civil. We'll try to be, you know, good people, because that's who we are, right? We're just Lions fans. So while we're doing that, Riz, you got your Lions thong on right now, don't you?
How'd you know?
I can see it poking through your pants. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. The very, very best place to get your Lions thong and any other great sports gear for the teams you want to support. There you go. Fanatics.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We got another caller. How you doing, man? What's your name?
Hey, I'm Logan. First time calling in.
Hey, Logan. How you doing, man?
So what I want to know your guys' opinions on is, how do you think Patricia's going to address this with the team on Monday? Like, all those players played well enough to win until some boneheaded calls. How does he stare them in the face and say, this is on me?
Oh, I think that's exactly what he'll do. Actually,
I do too. That's very in character for him to do that. My question will be, how do the players receive that message? Are they going to buy into that or not? And that's something that I don't think we know the answer to yet.
And I think it's going to be completely dependent on how Stafford reacts. I think everyone's going to look to his reaction for to define what their reaction is. And I think that's going to be the real definition of how things go here. I think Stafford is the kind of guy that's going to go with it. I think he's going to understand it. I think him and probably Bevel and probably Patricia are going to have a behind-the-scenes conversation, and they're going to straighten some shit out. But I think the way the team's going to react, I think Patricia's going to own it, and I think that's what a good leader does, and a strong leader will do that. And then I think they're going to work it out themselves, and we'll see how it goes. But this is the kind of thing that can fester and infect if it doesn't get taken care of. So it's a storyline to watch. And it's definitely a risk. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes.
Definitely interesting to see, considering the storyline all last year was Patricia lost the locker room. And I never really bought into that too much. But I think this is more of a chance to do that than running a few laps in training camp.
Yeah, definitely.
<Yes.
laughs> Running laps, and then he put in the hill anyway, right? Yeah, no, this is a big one. This is a real opportunity. And this is, you know, from a standard Lions perspective, you can look at this as, man, this is going to be tough. This is going to be bad. This is going to be whatever. Or you can look at it as, this is an opportunity for this team to grow and this group of guys to come together. Nothing seems to cement a team like adversity and overcoming it together. I'm taking the positive approach. Again, this is game one of 17, 18 more. And
I see what you did there, Chris.
Thanks. These kinds of things have a way of taking good teams and solidifying them, or breaking apart, you know, bad teams and bad characters. The group of characters we have in this locker room, I just think, is going to come together on something like this. And this is going to be the thing where, you know, Riz talked about a sentiment that Lions players were starting to get about the whole Detroit versus everybody thing. And if everybody didn't, you folks didn't hear it when we were talking about it on the podcast, you know, a lot of times the players are saying they feel like they're the everybody.
That is a direct quote from a player last year.
Yeah. And this is how do we react? How do we look at this? How do they react? Right. This may be a kind of ceiling thing where they may feel like they're everybody, but they're going to show Detroit, right? I mean, maybe they're going to say it's everybody against Detroit. We'll see. We'll see how it happens.
I am fascinated to see the fan reaction at the home opener next week.
Yeah.
Are they going to cheer this team? Are they going to be supportive? If they fall behind 10-0 in the second quarter, what's the reaction going to be? That's going to be very telling.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Hey, man, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Love listening to you guys.
Oh, man. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Cool. All right. Hey, you got a good one. Jim Young. Oh, love this guy. He's been around forever. Do you think having so many starters not play in the preseason contributed to the tie or possibly to seeming to be so gassed out, tired, or not in football shape? What do you think, man?
That's something that we've had a talk on our wire Slack where all the editors are going at it. And one of the things that we talked about was the Green Bay Chicago game and how sloppy and out of sync Aaron Rodgers looked with his receivers. Just the way that they've practiced, I don't think that's necessarily a big deal. I do think that it would have been nice to see a little bit more of the starting defense, honestly, more than the offense, because the starting defense, other than the Slay playing an extended period, you know, Flowers has not played. Hand being out hasn't played. Snacks did not play much in the preseason. You didn't see, you know, the starting linebacking core with Davis out. I think that has somewhat of a factor in it. It was in Arizona. It is a climate controlled building, but they did play overtime all the way to the end.
Right.
That's going to take something out of you. I don't think that they lost because of fatigue, though. I think they lost more. They didn't make plays that were there to be made.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was a heck of a conditioning. This is a heck of a conditioning routine to get him in game shape for week 2. Hey, we got a caller. Caller, what's your name? How many have you had so far?
A couple scotches in. I have some Johnny Walker Red.
All right.
This is Brian, by the way. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Brian, how you doing, man?
I'm doing okay. I'm a forever optimist when it comes to the Lions. But, yeah, it's tough. My dad's been a fan for, like, 40 years, and he always calls me after these types of games.
Oh, God,
and
I'm sorry.
He's just like, no. Yeah, no, he's just like, yeah, I told you so. And I'm like, you know, believe me, I think we have a good team. You know, this is a new coach still. You know, they're still learning. It's just some things scratch up, like, they really, I don't understand them. Because, you know, you look at teams like the Ravens today, and you see them, they're up like 28 points in the second quarter, and they run a fake punt from their own 40. They're aggressive to the end.
They're murderers, right?
And you see the Lions, they're up 18, and they just let the foot off the gas. They stopped doing what worked. And I even after the timeout, I don't even understand the play call. What was that, like all goes? Like, didn't you just throw it up? That's not a play that was working for you earlier. Go to what you've been doing. I don't know. It's frustrating, but at the end of the day, a tie is not the end of the world. It's much, much better than a loss against the Cardinals. And I think we have a good team. We have a good foundation. Hawkinson, you know, looks like he's going to be everything as advertised.
Oh yeah. Wow.
And, yeah, you can go ahead.
No, you're right. Hawkinson, talk about a high point. You know, everyone was high on him early in training camp. Things got a little quiet. He did fine in preseason, but boy, did he come alive today. Did he look like the real deal? That was gorgeous.
He was phenomenal.
Yeah.
NFL record.
And he was, and basically undrafted in fantasy leagues, and I picked him up in both of mine because I thought everyone was being stupid and not drafted him. He's going to be, I think, Stafford's number one, easily 1,000 yards this year, probably 10 touchdowns at least. He's going to be a star for us for at least, you know, hopefully the next decade, I think, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's not a loss. The Bears are still in last place. Rodgers himself, you know, he's taking a lot of sacks. And if he continues to do what he does, I don't know if he's going to be able to stay healthy, because he likes to hold on to the ball. And you have the Vikings even. Dalvin Cook looked great today, but
did you see that shot that Kirk Cousins took straight in the back, like folding? I thought I couldn't believe he got up. Like, he just popped right up after that, like nothing. I was sitting there with my wife. I was like, man, when I was younger, I used to think with all the pads and everything, I could take a hit like that. Today, they'd be wheeling me out in a helicopter after that kind of hit. I don't know how he popped up after that. That was murder.
That looks like the shot Stafford has taken over the last couple of years.
Yeah, 100%, man. Wow.
Yeah. I think if we go 4-2 in the division, we can still be easily competing for a wild card spot and easily maybe even in the conversation. Trubisky looked bad. I mean, all the quarterbacks that I watched today, outside of, like, the Dolphins quarterback and maybe Jameis Winston, looked better than Trubisky looked on Thursday night. So, you know, I'm not convinced on the Bears. I'm not convinced on the Packers. The Vikings will be, you know, they'll be competitive and scary if they can run the ball like they did today.
Yep.
But the Lions are not out of it. I think there's a good foundation. Like you guys said, they played good for – they played really dominant football for like three and a half quarters, and just something changed. And this needs to be a learning experience.
Exactly.
Like I heard you guys talking about for the coaching staff, for Stafford and Bevel and Patricia, all to say these were the mistakes that we made that we need to make sure that it doesn't happen again. But
No, and that's –
appreciate the call, guys. I'll listen to you guys offline now.
All right. Thanks a lot, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for calling in.
Good call, man. Really good call. Yeah, no, and he's right. I mean, this is, if you think about who Matt Patricia is, the rocket scientist, right? And I live in this world, so I know about, you know, the continuous improvement, Six Sigma, all those kinds of things. he is a guy that is going to analyze the shit out of it. He is going to look at why it changed, and how to fix that in the future. This may actually be, again, I hate to sound like a slappy here, Riz. Tell me I'm an idiot if I am, okay? But this may be the kind of call that they needed for the first game of the season. I think if they would have come in and dominated, it may have actually done more harm than good for this team. While it would have built up a lot of confidence and stuff, walking into the Chargers next year on that super high, or next week, and possibly getting your face slapped, I think this takes a different focus to the Chargers. And I think it might be a healthier focus for this team, walking into a team that's going to be that difficult in this stretch of about four more games that we have. They're going to be really, really tough games.
I think you're reaching a little bit there, but it's not absurd. I've heard worse today.
Okay. I can go with that.
Yeah. This is... It's just so frustrating because the win was there, and it's quite clearly on the coaches that they lost this game. They changed their philosophy, and you can't do that.
Yep. Hey, we got a caller on. Hey, what's your name?
Oh, sweet.
How many you had?
I've been drinking all day, just watching football.
I think Riz has too. He's not on the camera anymore.
I've slumped off, man. I'm tired. It's a long day. I got like 5 more hours of work to do too. So I'm cutting it off here shortly.
All right. We'll take this.
I think that game added like 3 years to my life, especially at the end.
Yeah. Wait, it added 3 years to your life? I'm thinking it took off a couple.
No, it took off. Sorry. See, I can't even think straight.
That's what happens when you drink all day, man. You can't think.
Yeah, exactly.
No. I have to tell you, I was so excited to get back to football, and I'm sitting there at the end. I can feel my heart in my chest, just like ka-chung, ka-chung, and just my neck is like thumping, and I'm just like, holy cow, football's back, the Lions are back. I so remember this feeling of terror and anxiety and excitement all at once. It was absolutely this team. Look, you could just watch a Lions game as a fan and get your cardio in the fourth quarter just by sitting still.
Oh my gosh.
That's a good point.
Oh, man.
I thought for all the haters out there, for Stafford haters, look what happens when you give him a little bit of help, when you give him some receivers. You know, it's just all offseason I've had to listen to all the Stafford haters saying how he's not good and we should trade him in the franchise. You know, he's not a franchise quarterback, got to draft one next year. And, you know, I mean, I didn't even think our O-line looked that great. They weren't awful, but he definitely didn't have as much time as he probably should have, but. I mean, what was the stats? He had like over 310 passing yards and a three touchdowns or something like that.
Yeah,
good.
Let me look at it here. Hey Riz, what's the rate the front seven for the Cards for me? I mean, I'm not wrong saying that's the best part of their team, right?
Terrell Suggs and Chandler Jones are the two best players on their football team.
Yeah, absolutely.
On either side of the ball.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not like our offensive line wasn't getting a heck of a workout out there, right? So
that's true. Yeah.
It's okay. They did good. I mean, and then we can look at, you know, and it's coming up in the chat. I don't want to miss this either. Jamal Agnew. Can we not have him return kicks anymore? Can we stop that? What happened?
He used to be so good. 2 years ago, he was like all pro. And then, I don't know what happened. But
He dropped the ball that he fair caught, that leave him there. Because he's not good on defense. He's never been good on defense. Oh, my God. So he had a muff today. He had a muff in the last preseason game. He had he had two today where he did not catch the ball when he should have caught the ball, and it cost him yards. It's inexcusable. Do you have that much of a hack back there doing that? And I'm not even sorry about saying that about him, because he's got to go. If you're going to find a scapegoat for the game, and somebody has to pay, because somebody always has to pay in these situations, he's a good one.
Yeah, he'd be ideal.
Yeah.
Oh. Not the good kind of muff, see, right, Peter Von Panda.
It is not the Tori Wells kind that I grew fond of over my life. If you don't know who that is, Google her, kids.
All right, man. Well, hey, I want to thank you for the call really quick. We're going to take one more call here, and then I know, Riz, you got to fly. Thanks for doing this. We had.
I do. I have to wrap up at 10 cents, and I've written 5.5 of them, and I got to get it in by 2 a.m. So
someone loan this man a nickel, would you? Sandman had a breakout at the last minute, and Riz came in and is jumping in on something that he usually doesn't have time for, but he wanted to save the day. So big round of applause for the Riz. Thank you, my man. You're the
bomb.
All right, last time, 248-782-8384. Last chance for a call. We covered Agnew. We covered Stafford. The front, I felt like we got great pressure again from the front seven. We had Kyler Murray moving.
There was a lot of confusion created by the front seven, and I appreciate that. And Devon Kennard getting three sacks, that's legitimate. That's very nice. Yep. You know, you saw. I thought the corners were good in man coverage when they lined up and tried to cover. When they weren't off the ball so far, I thought Slade looked good. I thought Rashawn Melvin looked really good.
Yeah, very surprisingly good. Hey, we got a last call.
Positive.
We got the call. How you doing, caller? How many you had? What's your name?
I don't know. Maybe 18 beers. I don't know. Something like that.
My people.
What's your name, man?
Man, I was a Mike. Yeah. I was loving the game for the first 3.5 quarters, man. Our offense actually looked. We talked about it a lot, or you guys did on the podcast last year about how predictable our offense looked last season. And for the first time in several years, we looked completely unpredictable. It looked amazing.
Yeah.
For the first 3.5, you know, quarters. And then the fourth quarter came around and we just looked like utter garbage.
Did you have your little picture frame out with Jim and Bob Cooter in it, like kind of the tear running down? Right.
You know what I mean, everybody loved when Jim Bob Cooter joined. I mean, it's like the greatest thing ever to be able to say that. But when Daryl Bevel came, it was nice. I was a little concerned, but I listened to you guys, and you know, it seemed like Daryl Bevel was going to make our dreams come true. Which I will say, I think in our game tonight, our offense looked amazing. I just think we got screwed by the refs in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I think we helped them, but I don't think that. I thought there was a couple. There was an OPI against
for sure.
them that didn't get called for sure. The Trey Flowers one was really ticky tacky for
the
refs.
Trey Flowers' face mask was egregious at best.
It
reminds me of everybody I know. I've noticed the comments keep coming up that everybody says, you know, Matty P, timeout. And it reminds me of the Jim Schwartz call, you know, several years back where Jim Schwartz causes the game with one call. And it's total bullshit. It's like it's one call by your coach. Dude, we got screwed in the last part of the fourth quarter. There's nowhere else to take it. And it sucks to take the tie. I mean, we've all been through this shit for how many years?
Too many.
Like, now we just get a tie instead of a loss.
Instead of a loss,
we just get a tie.
That's an improvement.
And now we have to live with How do you lose a game? Now we get a tie, and now the Lions can add that to their list of BS wins to like start a freaking season. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's been ever since.
On a positive note, I don't think after listening to you guys for the last 2 years, especially after Jim Bob Cooter was running the offense, I will say for the first time in 3 years of watching football with the Lions, I could not tell what they were going to run on every goddamn play that they were doing. And that was a beautiful thing to see.
Damn,
so at least we can take that as fans, you know, away from this game. But
that is definite progress, that's for sure.
Yeah, definitely for this team, man.
Other than that, man, it's awesome hearing from you guys, man, from Texas, dude. Love you guys. See you next week. Look forward to the future podcast, man.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. I really appreciate you. That's awesome. Man,
Yes. Thank you for that. One quick thing I want to note. This is the Lions' first tie since 1984. I'll give Ben Raven from MLive, my good friend, some credit on that.
Right.
I didn't realize it had been that long, but that's a long time ago. That's
two shows and two Ben mentions. Ben, if you'd like to sponsor the show, you can enjoy Peter Von Panda. Yeah, all right. Dude. All right, everybody. That's going to do it. We're going to call this a show for now. It's the first. It's late. It's nighttime. Everyone's got to work tomorrow. We're going to call this the first post-game show, a live show. We're going to do them all. It looks like every game this season is going to get a post-game show, except the Thanksgiving game. So we're good to go. Thank you again, Riz, for stepping in when we needed you the most, man. It was most lovely.
It was my pleasure. I needed to talk. I needed to get away from writing angry. Because I have a lot of that to go on tonight.
there's a lot of good things to take away from it, Riz. I'm telling you. I know a lot of people are gonna talk in the media are gonna take all the bad angle on this.
Oh, you know that's
gonna
happen.
There's a lot of good to take away from this, and I think the group the people that take a look at the good side of this and can put that in context and in perspective of the whole game and realize that what went bad was really a small portion and a couple of real key points. Those are all things that can get fixed. Right, those are all things that can change, and you'll probably be a lot more fair and a lot more realistic about what you're reporting on. And I'm not telling you what to write. Don't get me wrong.
So I do get the fun to write. I actually have to write about the Dolphins next for one of the 10 cents. And
you want to trade that away?
I'll just say this: I have covered both teams that went 0-16. I've never seen either of those teams look as bad as Miami did today.
Yeah.
Ever.
That's crazy. All right, guys. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the subreddit to give us your feedback. And don't forget about us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. The most intelligent Slack chat in the world related to the Lions is available to you if you get as little as $1 a month on the donation list. Patreon.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Also, check us out on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheDetroitLionsPodcast. And on the Twitter machine at DETLionsPodcast. The very best place to see the Riz.
With no pants.
That's right. All right, give us a call via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, or call us in the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. We'll get you on the weekly show coming out Tuesday or Wednesday this week. Also, come to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast so we can come in your little box automatically. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, baby, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.